This is Carol Bond returning with the Decatur Herald Review, dated August 16th. We'll continue now and with the reading of the obituaries. Diana Lynn Darnell, 65, of Shelbyville, passed away Saturday, August 13th, at home with family by her side. Funeral service will be Friday, August 19th at 10 a.m. at Lockhart Green Funeral Home, Shelbyville, with Pastor Mike Reynolds officiating. Visitation will be Thursday, August 18th from 6 to 8 p.m. at Lockhart Green Funeral Home, Shelbyville. Burial will be in Finlay Cemetery. Casual attire is requested. Memorials may be made to the Shelby Memorial Hospital Relay for Life or American Cancer Society. Alice E. Lawyer, 63, of Arthur, formerly of Lovington, passed away at 2:25 p.m. Saturday, August 13th, in her home, surrounded by her family. Services to celebrate Alice's life will be held at 10 a.m. Saturday, August 20th, at the Wyman Park in Sullivan. Services will be conducted by Pastor Larry Bricker and Pastor Al Rennert. Memorials are suggested to the Decatur Memorial Hospital Hospice. Graceland Fairlawn Funeral Home is assisting the family with arrangements. Billy K. Powell, 85, of Decatur, passed away Wednesday, August 10th, in Hickory Point Christian Village. In honor of Billy's wishes, cremation services will be provided by Graceland Fairlawn Crematory. Graveside services will be 10 a.m. Thursday, August 18th, in Graceland Cemetery. In lieu of flowers, memorials are suggested to Grace United Methodist Church. Delmar P. Stevens, 82, of Decatur, passed away on Thursday, August 11th, in Symphony of Decatur. Graveside services to celebrate Delmar's life will be in Antioch Cemetery in Portland, Indiana, at a later date. The family of Delmar P. Stevens is being served by Graceland Fairlawn Funeral Home, Decatur. Vera Lillian Stewardson, 91, of rural Shelbyville, died at 8:40 a.m. Saturday, August 13th, in her residence. A memorial service will be held at 2 p.m. on Saturday, August 20th, in the First United Methodist Church in Shelbyville, with Gary Crowder and Reverend Dan Siebert officiating, followed by a celebration of her life party at VFW Post 4829 in Shelbyville from 4 to 7 p.m. Saturday. Arrangements are by Howe and Yaki Funeral Home, Shelbyville. In lieu of flowers, please support one of Vera's favorite organizations, Roy Vanderpool, American Legion Post number 81, VFW Post number 4829, Shelby County Community Services, Christmas Angel of Love Project, or one of your choice. That concludes today's obituaries. Let's turn to page A7 and find out about some of our favorite columnists. Here's a letter to Dr. Roach. Dear Dr. Roach, I was warned not to use the water agitators in the spa at the municipal facility where I live because inhaling the chemicals can cause cancer. I inquired at the facility and was told that they use calcium hypochlorite and test the pool 3 to 4 times daily. Should I be worried about cancer? Signed, L.S. And Dr. Keith Roach responds this way. There is no good evidence that chlorine in swimming pools causes cancer. It is true that the chlorine in water, pool water, can react with organic materials such as skin cells or compounds in sweat, in urine, to form trihalomethanes and other chemicals. These are what can be irritating to the eye, lung, and skin. They also can cause cancer in animal cells in the lab, but that is a long way from saying that swimming in or breathing the fumes from swimming pool water causes cancer. If the odor of the pool is bothersome or irritating, it makes sense not to use the jets. However, in my opinion, the benefits from swimming outweigh any potentially small risk of cancer. I don't believe there is more than a minuscule risk. Here's another question about cancer. Dear Dr. Roach, I heard on the television that eating bagels and potatoes will cause lung cancer. Is this true? Signed, N.R. And his answer is this. I believe this comes from a study released in March of this year, which found that people who eat a large amount of refined carbohydrates, such as white bread, potatoes, and bagels, were 49% more likely to develop lung cancer. However, this translates to a very small increase in risk among people who don't smoke. Eating too many refined carbohydrates is already known to be a risk for heart disease, obesity, and diabetes. So the study is adding another reason for people to avoid excess starch, which may provide some benefit. It sounds like what you heard on television was an oversimplification of a more nuanced message. An occasional bagel or a bowl of mashed potatoes is not going to significantly increase cancer risk. Have a balanced diet with whole grains and especially fruits and vegetables, which reduce cancer risk. Let's find out now what writers are asking of Jean Phillips, who writes as Abby. Dear Abby, I have a problem with my two younger sisters. Neither one can have children. I have three. Recently, one of my sisters turned my sweetest daughter against me by telling her I had abandoned her when I moved to Ohio with my oldest son and divorced their father. Not true. I left my daughter with my sister so she could experience raising a teenager since she couldn't have a child of her own. After telling my daughter I had abandoned her, my sister advised her to tell me she never wanted to talk to me again. My heart is broken. My daughter is very sweet and gullible. She has taken her aunt's side and says she wants nothing to do with me. This is driving me crazy. Please tell me what to do. Signed, Heartbroken in the Midwest. Dear Heartbroken, if your daughter is a minor, demand that she return to you immediately. Do it through a lawyer if necessary, because what your sister is doing is a form of parental alienation. If your daughter is an adult, then ask your other two children to talk to their sister and set her straight. The next letter is about airplane etiquette. Dear Abby, when a couple is on an airplane in a section with three seats, window, middle, aisle, and a male stranger has the window seat, should the woman sit in the middle seat because the male stranger, beside the male stranger, or in the aisle seat, exposed to all passengers walking by? Signed, Traveler in Vancouver, British Columbia. Dear Traveler, when someone makes an airline reservation, A particular seat is usually assigned, and the airline expects the passenger to sit there unless the crew is notified and approves the change. There are many variables regarding why a person would want an aisle seat. Among them would be access to the bathroom, a person's size, or a desire for more personal space. If sitting in the middle seat in close proximity to a man you don't know would bother you, mention it to one of the cabin crew and request a change, or just switch seats with your travel companion. Following letter starts this way. Dear Abby, I am a retired man who took a community college class. My lab partner was a young woman who was having difficulties attending the class. She wasn't there for the final exam, and I wondered if she had dropped the course. I did not have her phone number or her email address, but she had mentioned she worked at a nearby bank, so I went to visit her there. We talked for a few minutes, and she told me she had actually done quite well in the class. When I told my wife and daughter about it, they were shocked. They said what I did was inappropriate because of the age difference, and she could have gotten into trouble at her job. Abby, they almost accused me of stalking her. I don't understand why they considered this inappropriate. Is there a social rule that makes my behavior incorrect? I find it hard to believe someone would get into trouble for talking to a person in the bank at any age. Gender should not be a concern. I would have done the same thing had she been a man my own age. Signed, Am I Missing Something? And here's her answer. Dear Am I, you appear to be a very nice person. What you are missing is the fact that your wife is insecure and your daughter backed her mother up. You did nothing wrong. There's one letter of more general interest in Mary Hunt's column, and it's about abandoned phone chargers. Deborah writes this question. Once on a trip, I forgot to pack a phone charger. I was so desperate, I asked at the hotel's front desk if they had one I might use. A security guard took me to the storage room where there were at least 12 large plastic bins full. I dug through the spaghetti-like mess and found one. When I offered to return it, he said, "Keep it. We probably have 300 more just like it." Somehow, someone needs to figure out how to get local hospitals that could really use phone chargers for their patients and nearby hotels that have way too many, get them together on this phone charger issue. And that suggestion was submitted by a woman named Deborah. On page B1, we find a sports article about the University of Illinois sports that does have a dateline of Decatur. It was written by Mark Tupper, and it concerns an event that took place in Decatur recently. Its headline is Next Project in the Works. Just days after he'd been hired, somewhere between walking on water and parting seas, Josh Whitman paused to point out that he now ran a football stadium that was only half full. Quote, "One of our biggest areas of unrealized potential is unfilled football seats," Whitman said almost immediately after being hired as the new director of athletics at the University of Illinois. "At every major university, football is supposed to be the money machine that drives the entire athletic department. Football helps pay the bills for soccer, wrestling, swimming. Football lights the fuse that causes campus-wide excitement to explode. But at Illinois, for too many years, the fuse has been damp. The seats have gone empty. And when that happens, schools look for a new football coach and a new AD. Enter Josh Whitman, who moved at the speed of light to steal national attention by hiring longtime NFL coach Lovie Smith to run a downtrodden football program. That was more than 5 months ago, and now Whitman is starting to make good on his promise to make Memorial Stadium a more popular entertainment destination again. On Monday, Whitman spoke at the Illini Club of Decatur's 30th annual corn roast, and he's making the rounds before football kicks off on September 3rd. Ideally, Whitman would sell every football ticket at full price, but that's not how it works when the product has been cut rate for too many years. So the university will first offer a variety of specials, and last week it announced that Deloitte Tax LLC will help sponsor a promotion that will give 2 free tickets to any student for that opening game against Murray State. In the first day, 3,000 ticket requests poured in. Quote, "We want to get people in the stands, and we want them to get a taste of Illinois football and see what that experience is like," Whitman said. "We want to introduce our athletic program to a new generation of fans, and that starts with our student body." Ticket deals aren't the only thing Illinois is doing to help people get in on the ground floor of the Lovie Smith era. More musical events are coming to the Grange Grove tailgating area. A new marketing emphasis is being placed on the overall fan experience with a keen eye on student involvement. Eventually, as the product improves, discounted tickets won't be necessary. 5 months after the fact, Whitman is still receiving pats on the back for the unexpected jolt he gave the university by convincing Lovie Smith that he was a good match for a rebirth of the Illini football program. Whitman said he's been too busy to dwell on that achievement, but he did admit that the dots were connected in a rather spectacular way in early March. Quote, "When it's happening, you're just doing it," he said. "We mapped out a plan and we knew exactly what had to happen. Now, the more I reflect on it, the more I appreciate our board of trustees, our president and chancellor. I mean, here I am, 7 or 8 days on the job. I was 37 years old. They had just hired me, and I have a big idea that is pretty out of the box. And it was a bold move at an odd time on the calendar, and it was going to cost us some money, and they didn't bat an eye. I just can't emphasize enough how much that support meant to me then and continues to mean to me now. I think the fact that they were willing to stand up and support me and that moment sent a very strong message to our fans, and it sent a very strong message to me. It worked out about as well as it could have." End of quote. 2 weeks from Saturday, the plan hits high gear when Lovie Smith leads the Illini onto the Memorial Stadium turf to open the season. Whitman, a former Illini player, admits it will be a banner day for him. Quote, "To be able to go into that stadium and see the Illini play a football game with the staff we put together and with a group of student athletes who have persevered through an incredibly difficult period of time, it will be emotional. I hope to be down on the field at kickoff. I look forward to meeting the guys when they come off the field. It will be a very emotional moment for me." And that is the end of the quote from Josh Whitman and the conclusion of the article. Let's take a look now at the Decatur Tribune online edition, featuring Paul Osborne's column, The City Beat. He is the editor of the Tribune. The headline here is Grow Decatur Survey Data Interesting. Here's the article. Thanks to Larry Altenbaumer, Bruce Nims, and Ellen Hearn for sitting down with me and updating what's been happening with the Grow Decatur group and their efforts to, as the name indicates, Grow Decatur. What I found especially interesting was a survey that was collected online by solicitation of voluntary subjects drawn from the general population of the Decatur area during April of this year. A net sample involved 567 subjects. The breakdown was female 67.2%, male 32.8%, white 76.4%, and black and others at 16.3%. According to the survey results, more than 70% of the participants were positive about living in the Decatur area, and less than 16% of the total surveyed were negative. With all the whining and complaining about Decatur that we read and hear these days, it would almost seem those percentages should be reversed. I guess that shows you that a small number of dissatisfied residents are making all of the negative noise. One other aspect of the survey data that I found especially telling was that residents 18 to 22 are, quote, significantly more negative about Decatur than the average participants, and that young women are more negative than men of the same age group, end quote. By the age of 30, people are generally satisfied. Of course, the survey included 567 subjects, so out of the much larger population, attitudes about our city are subject to debate. My viewpoint column on page 3 of this week's print edition of the Decatur Tribune deals with a critical aspect of what Grow Decatur has found in their efforts to define problem areas and work on a plan to resolve those problems. The next portion of his column involves a candidate for a seat on the district number 61 school board in next April's election, and that would be Al Scheider. Scheider is a 25-year resident of Decatur and District Number 61, and the first candidate to announce. Before sending his announcement to all of the media, Scheider came to my office to talk about his candidacy and the reason he is running. My first question to him was, quote, "Are you running because of Superintendent Lisa Taylor being forced out of her job earlier this year?" Scheider said he had actually made up his mind to run for the board before the controversy with Taylor happened. He also said he couldn't make an accurate judgment on whether or not the action of four board members to not renew her contract, which resulted in Taylor securing a position in another district, was right or wrong because he does not have access to the same information the board members had in the closed executive sessions. Last week's meeting with Scheider was the first time I had met with him, but from what he told me, it seems to me that he wants to serve on the school board for the right reason, to bring his educational background and expertise to help the school district move forward. And finally, Paul Osborne has this observation about the Decatur celebration held recently. "I've attended all 31 Decatur celebrations, but I can't remember a celebration weekend that had better weather for the event than this year's. Considering all of the really hot weather we've had, it was perfect. I don't spend nearly as much time at the celebration as I did for the first 25 years, where I was downtown every minute of every day when the event was going on. Some of the reason for that is the Tribune office, especially when it was on North Park Street, right in the middle of all the activities, and I worked at the office most of the hours during the celebration. Our office is now located at 132 South Water Street, which is at the southern edge of the event. Actually, the golden oldies entertainment that I enjoyed in the beginning years was from the 1950s and 60s. I think most of those entertainers are either dead or no longer performing. I'll have to confess that except for 38 Special, the band, not the gun, I didn't recognize any of the entertainment this year, and I only recognized 38 Special by name, not because I remember any of their songs. However, I think there are younger generations that do not recognize and enjoy the entertainment, and that's probably the way it should be and will be from now on. I will have to admit that I have no problem remembering where the food I enjoy is located. I will have to admit that I have no problem remembering where the food is located, as I said. My favorite is the chicken and rice on North Park Avenue. Some of this article is being hidden by a graphic. I'll just continue. Standing behind me in line at the Thai Grill was City Councilman Pat McDaniel, who told me that some police officers had been coming up to him and expressing their appreciation for his Support the Police Blue Ribbon campaign. That was a solid idea, and I can understand why police officers would appreciate it, and so do I. Paul Osborne also mentions the 5th Annual Penny Severns Memorial Reception to honor community leader Margaret Donovan Leonard. Margaret Donovan Leonard will be presented the Penny Severns Integrity Award posthumously at the 5th Annual Penny Severns Memorial Reception to be held August 24th, 6 to 8 p.m. at the Scoville Golf Course Banquet Center. The event is hosted annually by the Macon County Jefferson Jackson Club in association with the Macon County Democratic Central Committee. Mrs. Leonard passed away on November 23, 2015. She was a registered nurse who dedicated much of her life strengthening community health care. She was a strong advocate for community health care, serving in leadership roles at the local and statewide levels. She was also a partner with her husband, Edward, in their fourth generation family farm operation. The Severns Integrity Award is named in honor of the late state Senator Penny Severns. It is presented to honorees who embody the dedication, honesty, and integrity demonstrated by Severns during her lifetime of public service. Keynote speaker will be U.S. Congressman Tammy Duckworth, is also a candidate for the U.S. Senate. Also speaking will be State Treasurer Mike Frerix, State Senator Andy Maynard, and State Rep Sue Scherer, as well as other local speakers. Well, this has been Carol Bond with the Decatur Herald Review and Decatur Tribune. The issues were dated August 16th, 2016, and I look forward very much to reading with you again next week.